Hey guys, welcome to the assignment explanation audio for chapter 5. Let's go ahead and get started on part number 1. All right, so it says define rotary motion and torque. So on page 98, you're going to find the answer to this part. And rotary motion is going to be defined as rotational motion, typically involving a lever and an axis of rotation. So basically, the way that a rotary motion works is if you have a lever and that lever turns, or as you pull that lever, it rotates about an axis. That's basically the way that they're going to be describing the way bones move around joints. So bones move around joints via rotary motion. All right, and then torque is defined as the force that produces, or a force that produces a rotational movement. So when you basically pull down a lever, that force is going to be measured in torque when it rotates. So basically the rotary motion that occurs needs a force, and that force is measured via torque. Hopefully that made sense. But torque is basically a force that produces a rotational movement, typically measured in Newton meters. I don't really need to know that, but just fun facts with Eddie today. So part 2, write down and memorize every joint motion and list the corresponding plane of motion. Give an example exercise for each joint motion. So these answers are going to vary a little bit as far as the exercises go, but it's pretty important for you guys to understand all of the joint motions and what plane of motions they are in. NASM can ask you certain questions about certain exercises, and you need to understand what joint motions are occurring during those exercises, because they might want to know what plane of motion is this exercise in, and you have to analyze what movements are occurring joint motion wise, and then you can refer to which plane of motion those joint motions are occurring in. So let's start with the major joint motions in the frontal plane, and then we'll list an exercise immediately after. So actually, let's go ahead and list the exercise as we go through these. So first one in the frontal plane is hip abduction. That's going to be something like tube walking or walking laterally, side shuffling maybe. Shoulder abduction, that's a lateral dumbbell raise. That's just lifting the arm from the side upwards. And yeah, guys, there's some great pictures in your book on page 86 to page 90. So I'm going to actually go through these a little bit quicker. Hopefully you can kind of already have these down and have given a thought to what type of exercises can occur. But hip adduction is where you bring the hip back towards the body. A cable hip adduction, there's not too many exercises that do that, except for just bringing the leg towards the body in the frontal plane. A shoulder adduction, that's basically like a pull-up or bringing your hand back to your side in the frontal plane. Ankle inversion, ankle eversion, those don't really have exercise associated with them, but you can do like a cable ankle inversion, ankle eversion. Spinal lateral flexion, like a side crunch or a lateral crunch, that's an example exercise. Scapular elevation, this would be like a shrug, a shoulder shrug, thinking like, you know, I don't know, or that shoulder shrug that you would give, that's in the frontal plane, scapular elevation. You have scapular depression, that's going to be like a hanging scapular depressions. If you're hanging to do a pull-up, but then as opposed to bending your arms and shoulders, you just depress the shoulder blades, that's a scapular depression. Scapular protraction, that'd be like a push-up, and then going way further with the push-up and protracting those shoulder blades forward, that's called a push-up plus. Scapular retraction would be something like squeezing the shoulder blades in a row, or doing T's, in which you're bringing the hands behind you and the shoulder blades are retracting, or like a rear deltoid fly, that sort of thing. All right, so next we have the major joint motions in the sagittal plane with an example exercise. Joint motions in the sagittal plane are knee flexion, hip flexion, spinal flexion, shoulder flexion, elbow flexion. Then you have knee extension, hip extension, spinal extension, shoulder extension, elbow extension, plantar flexion, and dorsiflexion. So a quick example exercise for each of these. Knee flexion is something like a hamstring curl. Hip flexion is something like leg lifts, or bending at the waist, we'll say. Hip bending at the hip, I should say. Spinal flexion is like a crunch. Shoulder flexion is going to be like an anterior dumbbell raise. The elbow flexion would be like a bicep curl, barbell bicep curl. Knee extension would be like a machine leg extension, knee extension. Hip extension would be something like glute bridge, in which you're raising the butt raises up into the air. That's hip extension. or coming up in a squat at the hip. A spinal extension, something like a back extension, which you go from a rounded spine to an extended spine. The shoulder extension is going to be something like a chin-up, in which you're bringing the shoulders down in front of you. A little hard to imagine there, but the chin-up, the shoulders actually going into extension during the upward phase of a pull-up. Elbow extension, something like a cable tricep push-down. You're pushing down, extending the elbow. Plantar flexion, calf raises, dorsiflexion is going to be like a cable dorsiflexion. Or when a drummer drums, I always think of dorsiflexion as the point at which they aren't hitting the drum and they're backing off, which the toe comes up, or the ankle dorsiflexes. All right, taking a little longer than I expected, but this is a longer one. Major joint motions in the transverse plane with example exercises. So spinal rotation would be something like a cable trunk rotation, which you're holding a cable out in front of you, and you rotate the spine. Hip internal rotation, hip external rotation. Not too often are those done during exercises, so I wouldn't say include one there. Shoulder internal rotation, you could do a band internal rotation with the shoulder. Shoulder external rotation, you could do a band external rotation, like a resistance band. Shoulder horizontal abduction and adduction. So that's basically like a chest fly or a rear delt fly. That horizontal abduction people get confused on, but it's basically like going to hug someone. Adduction is going to hug someone, which you squeeze them, and then removing your arms from that hug would be the abduction. Or cable chest fly, adduction, rear deltoid fly, abduction. All right, radial ulnar pronation, radial ulnar supination. Just there's certain tools that you can use for that, but we just called an exercise like resisted pronation, resisted supination. All right, took a little longer than expected, but we got through it. Part three, describe the difference between internal and external feedback. When someone feels a change in their environment, what type of feedback is that? So on page 102, you have internal feedback. And that is going to be the process in which sensory information is used to determine a change in your environment. Okay, so sensory information, the sense, the feeling that you get when something changes is going to be internal feedback. Basically, that's that second part of that question. Which type of feedback is when you feel, or when someone feels something, that's internal feedback. It says a client would feel a change in weight or muscle length. Okay, so when you pick up a dumbbell and it's heavy, that feeling, that heaviness, that's internal feedback. It's something you feel. External feedback is typically by seeing something external to yourself to provide feedback on the environment. An example would be using a mirror to look at your posture during a squat or during a lunge or something, or having a personal trainer watch you and give you feedback from an external perspective. All right, part four, it says define length-tension relationship, force-velocity curve, and force-couple relationships. What is altered length-tension relationship? And specifically, we say when quads are tight and hamstrings are not able to produce appropriate force, that's an altered length-tension relationship. And also another tip there says length-tension relationships would best be described by the myosin and actin overlap. All right, so to go over that, this is all mainly on page 94. And a length-tension relationship is going to be defined as the point at which a muscle can produce the most force. Okay, and it's typically done around resting length. That's typically what they want you to know, is that the length of the muscle matters for the amount of force that it can produce. If a muscle is completely stretched out, there's not a lot of myosin-actin overlap, so you can't have as many cross bridges, meaning you can't produce as much force. Once again, this would best describe the myosin-actin overlap. Length-tension relationship, myosin-actin overlap. Keep that in mind. The force-velocity curve describes the relationship between the amount of force being moved and the speed at which that object can be moved. So typically, if a heavy object is in front of you, you can't move that object very fast. If there's a light object in front of you, you can move that with very fast. So higher load equals less velocity, and lower or less load or force equals more velocity. Like throwing a baseball compared to throwing a kettlebell. Which one can you throw faster? The baseball, because it's lighter. Okay. A force-couple relationship is the next one, and that refers to joint motions of the body that require a group of muscles to work together to produce force. So that example is going to be the one that Nassim always gives an example in the book is going to be the upper trapezius, serratus anterior, and lower trapezius as they work together and concentrically contract to perform scapular upward rotation. Upward rotation is where when you abduct beyond, we'll say parallel to the floor, the shoulder blade kind of turns upward and rotates. And that is done by those three muscles working together in a force couple relationship. All right. Keep that in mind as Nassim loves to ask, you know, which of the following would be an example of a force couple relationship, and that upper trapezius, radius anterior, and lower trapezius typically or sometimes can be a test question. All right. An altered length tension relationship basically just refers to how a muscle imbalance at a joint will prevent a different muscle or we'll say antagonistic muscle from contracting effectively, meaning that a tight muscle means that one muscle that's tight would prevent another muscle from contracting effectively or contracting appropriately, I guess I should say. And the example we gave up above is when the quads are tight, the hamstrings are not able to produce appropriate force. All right. On to part five. It says, using table 5.1, list each plane of motion with its corresponding axis. This is pretty easy, guys, but you do need to have this memorized. The sagittal plane moves in the coronal axis. The frontal plane moves in the anterior posterior axis. And the transverse plane moves in the longitudinal axis. So associate those. It's right on page 85 using table 5.1. You can kind of memorize that. But what plane is associated with what axis? They can bring that test question up on the test, and you need to have that memorized. So, all right. Complete the quiz below, and I look forward to seeing you in the next chapter. Cheers.